Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to this week's Living Torah, and it is good to be back on camera. I feel like I've lost a couple of weeks of my life here. For those of you that emailed and have called during those last couple of weeks, thank you so much. It has a lot of strength here. Long story short, about 2 weeks ago, I got a call that my mother had been placed in the hospital. This was right after Kathy's mother had just gone through a major thing in the hospital, and so I ended up having to go down to Florida very fast, and it's been an interesting couple of weeks dealing with doctors, attorneys, Medicare, Medicaid, meta this, meta that. It's just not my favorite place in the world to begin with. I don't guess it's anybody's really favorite place, but it was quite an ordeal. And just to make it all kind of a long story short here, got my mother put in a nursing home, and that was interesting. It's the only option. That's not my number one option in life, is to put our parents in nursing homes. But for her, that was the only option that that she's giving us at the moment. So she's pretty comfortable in there. And again, thank you so much. I have seen the hand of God, the Almighty, in the last couple of weeks. I tell you what, I don't know how somebody goes through ordeals in life without having him. I mean, I'm not talking about a higher power, or the man upstairs, or all those silly things. I'm talking about a relationship with the Creator of the universe. It was the first few days. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a synopsis here. First couple of days of being there, my mind was spinning. I'm meeting with people I've never met before, with attorneys and doctors and all these different people, and we're trying to figure out all these things. And in the middle of that, on that weekend, the first weekend I was down there, I'd been the folks over at Kol HaMashiach in Lake City, Florida, wonderful people over there. They had I had said I was coming through. They said, "We'll stop by," and so I gave them I was able to go over there and give a little report of what our trip was to Israel. And it just allowed me to get away for a weekend and kind of put everything on the back burner, put everything behind me for just a little while. And as I drove back to Jacksonville a couple days on that Sunday, it was like everything was in order. And I kind of just settled down and just saw the Father work in the midst of this whole thing. In some incredible ways that we were able to help my mother to understand this situation. They told me that a room would not be available in the nursing home for 2 weeks. And then they said, wait a minute, we have one. This was on Tuesday. And they're saying, we won't have a room for 2 weeks. And then they said, wait a minute, here. It looks like we have one available on Friday. And I said, we'd like to get a private room. Oh, that's impossible. And so I said, we'll take what we can get for right now. And then so I left, and an hour later she texts me and she says, that room's available tomorrow. And by the way, we made a mistake. It's a private room. And so it just helped my mother to kind of settle a little bit in this whole ordeal, because it's been very difficult on her too. So not going to get into too much more of that. Just thank you so much for your prayers. For those of you that just take a moment, have taken just a moment to send a brief email, you do not know what, I may just, text back real fast, thanks or something like that, because I just didn't have much time. But what it meant to receive those, you'll never know. So thank you so much for that. Of course, in the midst of this, last couple of weeks, we've been dealing with this thing that happened, the shooting that happened up in the Northeast. And once again, it's the gun's fault. It's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. You know what the Scripture teaches us? The Scripture teaches us that you take responsibility for your own actions. In the Torah, it is very specific that what happens to you in many cases is, or what you do, what the things that we do, if you drive off a cliff, don't blame the car. We take responsibility for our own actions, not blaming somebody else. Well, this is what this person did or that person did. No, this is what I have done. And as the world gets farther and farther away from Torah, and we're going to talk about that here in just a few moments, as the world gets farther and farther away from Torah, we no longer take responsibility for our own actions, but try to blame somebody else for what we're doing. By the way, Hanukkah was last week. I pray you guys had a wonderful Hanukkah. Kathy and Daniel came down, and we got to light the candles together on the last night of Hanukkah. That was the only time that I even got to think about Hanukkah. The only other thing that we've been able to think about, is you go into a nursing home or a hospital, and these people like Christmas trees. It was like overwhelming everywhere you looked. And I was so glad to get out of that situation. And I came across in Mississippi yesterday, and I called Kathy and I said, I'm so glad to be on this side, because I guess this goes along with some of what we're going to talk about this week. But, I grew up in the South, and I grew up in a very prejudiced area, and I got through that. It never really affected me. I never came down with that prejudice thing. But I can tell you, being in the South, in parts of Alabama and in Florida this week, the scripture talking about nation shall rise against nation. That's people group against people group. And the prejudice that I saw in the South is worse today than what I saw back in the 70s during the time of the riots. The debauchery of people, some of the things that happened around us. I had one lady that was saying something about Israel. I talk about Israel anywhere. And I said something, and she says, "Well, aren't you scared?" And I said, "Compared to this, here I am in downtown, or in Jacksonville." I said, "Compared to this," I said, "You got to be kidding me." And so we got to share with a number of people about the kingdom, about Israel, and about where everything is going to take place. And so with that, let's get back. I've probably just bored you to tears. So let's get in the scripture this week. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 24. And I'm going to go through these. We're going to just kind of go through these in, I'll probably down to about about verse 47, hopefully. And I don't want to read each one of them yet, but let's start at least with the first one. Yeshua put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. They went away, then went away. When the wheat, I haven't done this a couple of weeks, so out of practice. I read the word, I just haven't, you know what I'm talking about. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where have these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The servants asked him, "Then do you want us to go out and pull them up?" But he said, "No, because if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot some of the wheat at the same time. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers to collect the weeds first, tie them in bundles to be burned, but to gather the wheat into my barn." Now, he's going to go on and he's going to tell a number of different parables. Like I've said, Matthew chapter 13 is the number one chapter that I can see in the scripture which teaches about the kingdom. What does he say about the kingdom? Well, maybe just as important of what he does say about the kingdom is what he doesn't say about the kingdom. If we go through all of these parables of Matthew chapter 13, there is something kind of blaring, to me at least, that is just kind of staring in the face, and that is what he doesn't say about the kingdom. If you'll notice in these parables, he doesn't say much about the details of the kingdom. He does not give the kingdom as kind of a vacation package. Ever been to like a travel agent and you walk in the door and there's all these pictures on the wall of Hawaii and this place and that place, and they hand you a brochure And the brochure is about the hotels and the swimming pool and the hot tub and the beaches and the free drinks and the buffets. And it's all about the details of where you're going. But in Matthew chapter 13, he does not give details about the place. Why? Because the kingdom is not about the place. The kingdom is about the person. The kingdom is not about the what. It is about the who. And see, we are not to get our mind wrapped around, well, when I get to the kingdom, I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have, you know, a buffet full of ice cream, and I'm going to have all of these things. That's not the focus of the kingdom. The focus of the kingdom is to be the one who is there. Now, Kathy knows that these books that have come out through the years, 30 Minutes in Heaven, and this person had this vision, and this person was taken to heaven, and this person had all these things. I'm not real crazy about these books. And I may have read one or two back years ago, and then just really started to think about it. I don't know who these people are. I don't know what their theology is. I don't know what their life is. I don't know anything. What I do know is that there is one book that speaks about his kingdom that I am able to trust 100% totally and completely, and it is this book right here, is the Scripture. There is not another book on the planet, including the book of Jasher, the Apocrypha, the books of the Maccabees, all those books. There is not a single other book on this planet that I have put my total and complete trust in, except for this one right here. And when I read about the details of the kingdom, the what of the kingdom, here is what this book tells me. Eye is not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that Yah has the things that, now I put in Yah instead of God, and now I can't quote it. I came in last night. You got to understand, we've been on the road for 2 days this morning. The things that Yah has prepared for man. That's what it says in the Word. That your eye has never seen anything that compares to what he has set up for us in his kingdom. Your ear has never heard anything, the wonders of what is going to be in his kingdom. Your heart has never been able to conceive the things that he has prepared for us in his kingdom. The only one that I will trust in a vision about the kingdom is this, the Apostle Shaul, Paul, who said he was taken up into the heavens and he saw things that man cannot speak of. Which tells me that I today am not to get my eyes, my ears, or my heart on the what of the kingdom. What I am to get my eyes, my ears, and my heart on is the who of the kingdom. And that's what he is explaining to us all the way through this book from Genesis to Revelation. He's telling us about the who of the kingdom, the king. And so all these other books that have been written, there may be some truth in some of them. I don't care. That's the thing. I don't care, because if the Almighty wanted me to know the details of the what of the kingdom, he would have told me right here. So, for me, I don't need to look at that. What I need to look at and what I need to search out is the who of the kingdom. Now, what does he tell us? He tells us in the verses I just read that the kingdom will be like a field that has good wheat and it has weeds. Okay? The kingdom will also, in verse 31, Yeshua put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man takes and sows in his field. Now, if you want, especially if you got your young people, children with you, around you, turn the video off for a second, hit the pause button, go into your cabinet and get a mustard seed, okay? Which a man takes and sows in his seed. See how small that mustard seed is. It is the smallest of all seeds. But when it grows up, it is larger than any garden plant and becomes a tree. Go on your favorite search engine and type in mustard seed, mustard plant. And it will bring up images of mustard plants that are 10 feet tall and 20 feet wide. This little tiny seed has become something bigger than you could ever imagine. So what is he saying to us in this parable? His kingdom is going to be larger than you think. Yes, it may have started out as a very small seed called Abram, but in the end is going to be like a huge tree that is going to be strong enough that the birds of the air. Now, some people have said the birds of the air, that's talking about the evil and all this. I don't think so. I think it's talking about the plant. The plant is going to be strong. The plant is going to be something that will be able to produce in the future. He goes on and says, and yet he told them another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with a bushel of flour, then waited until the whole batch of dough rose. The kingdom is going to be complete. It is not going to be like a bread dough that is only allowed to rise halfway and then put in the oven. See, in the scripture, yeast, yes, leaven, can speak of sin. It can also speak of life. We've got to look at the context of the verses to figure out which one. And some have said, well, this yeast, this leaven, is sin, and that sin is going to be in the kingdom and is going to be separated out. Well, you know, it is, I think, impossible that once leaven does its work in bread, it's impossible to remove it. It's impossible to bring it back to what it was because that yeast is so impermeated the bread, has actually made the bread what it is. What has the leaven done in that case? The leaven has brought life into the bread. So in the context of what he's speaking here, I see that the leaven is speaking of life here, and that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Yah, the kingdom of our Father, those are all synonymous terms. His kingdom is not going to be halfway done. It is going to be complete. And so today, when we see all these things happening around us, and we think, wow, you know, why didn't the tribulation start 10 years ago? Why didn't it start, you know, 5 years ago? Why are we into this thing? Why are we sitting here at almost 2013, and it seems like, wow, it cannot get any farther. We can't go any farther down. Things can't get any worse. Yes, they can. Why is it not in my time? The reason it's not in our time, because it's in His time. And so the kingdom, in the end, when we see the fulfillment of everything, when we see the completion, we're going to say, wow, His timing was perfect. All these things Yeshua said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, He said nothing to them without using a parable. This was to fulfill what He has spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will say what has been hidden since the creation of the universe. Last week, Moshe Kempinski put out on his newsletter from Shor Hashim. And if you don't receive Moshe's newsletter, go on to Shor Hashim, S-H-O-R A-S-H-I-M, I think. Shorashim. I'm only on about three cylinders today. I can't even talk in cylinders. Shorashim.net, I think it is. If you can't find it, email me. I'll send you the direct link. Ask to be put onto his newsletter. And he told a story, which I'm sure many of you have heard. It's about a little boy, and of course, it's from Moshe. This is in a Jewish setting. It's about a rabbi and his family, a little boy. And he walked into a room, and he saw his little boy, and his little son was just sitting on the floor crying. And he walked over to him with compassion. He said, "Son, what's going on?" He said, "Why are you crying?" And his son said, "Dad, I was playing hide and seek with my friends, and nobody came to find me." And his father sat there, and he encouraged his son, he comforted his son, and then he started to cry. And his wife walked in the room. This is a story. And his wife walked in the room and said, "Why are you crying?" And so he told her what had just happened with his son. And he said, "I just started thinking about how in this world today, the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, He has also hidden things about Himself in the heavens, in the world around us, but so few people are seeking Him out. I thought about how it must make Him weep." I didn't tell exactly as it was on Moshe's newsletter. You can go back and see if you can find it. But I think you get the point. That he said things hidden in parables. Why? So that we would have to search it out. And I'll talk about that more in just a moment. Okay, he goes on and he tells about let's just read 36. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house. The Talmudim approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. As for the good seed, these are people who belong to the kingdom, and the weeds are people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the adversary. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels.'" Now, some are sitting here thinking, we have this tendency to think, well, why didn't they see that? I mean, when I read it, I just saw it immediately, you know, and why did Yeshua have to come back and explain it to them? Well, there was a time that we had to have it explained to us. You know, remember in Sunday school years ago, they explained this parable to us, and we went, oh, okay, and now we have it. One of the things that's kind of fascinating to me, I'll stop right in the center of this, is that these parables are so simple. But are they? As I read these parables, and I know we could go on the internet and we could get our commentaries and all kinds of things that are written about each one of these parables. It's amazing how much is not written about them, though. Because I believe that there are some things that are so complex within these parables that we haven't seen it yet. We're going to get into the kingdom and look back and see the wonders of what is in these parables and say, wow, I sure didn't see it that way. I didn't see the complexity within the simplicity of the parable. "Just as the weeds are collected and burn up in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth His angels. They will collect out of His kingdom all the things that cause people to sin, and all the people who are far from Torah." Now, I need to stop right here. A question was asked to me this past week regarding people who have died. You know, people let's say 30, 40 years ago. And say, 50 years ago, whatever. So many people that had grown up in churches and they rejected Torah. What happens to them? And I had to stop and kind of gather my thoughts on this one because it's something a lot of people think about. And the answer, again, is much more complex than just a basic statement. I have to ask, did they reject Torah, or did they walk in the Torah that was revealed to them at the time? I have relatives, people who have died, people that I knew in church. I was going through my mother's address book and trying to, you know, kind of put it together where it'd be a little bit simpler for her to find phone numbers. And I said to her, you know, you've outlived most of the people in your address book. And I know these people that were in her address book. You know, there are some in there that changed my diapers in nursery, and there's some that were my Sunday school teachers, and all of these people. And I have to look at them, and some would say, some in this movement today would say, oh, they are just away from God and all this. I can't do that. You know why? Because they walked in what was revealed to them at the time. There's a scripture that says we will be judged by the light that is in us. And they will be judged by the Torah that was revealed in that time. The same will be true for us, that we will be, I believe, we will be judged by the Torah that is revealed to us, which means that the judgment that we will face is going to be a little bit more, should we say, complex than the Torah that they will be judged by. You know, they walked in what had been revealed in the time, and it's so human. It's so human to look at them and point fingers at them instead of looking at our own selves and say, am I walking in what is being revealed today? See, the wonderful thing about the kingdom is this. One of the wonderful things about the kingdom is that there's only one king. And he's the only one that has an opinion. And he's the one that sets the rules. And he's going to be the one that judges in the end. And he's going to be the one that sorts everything out. And I just find it very relaxing that I don't have to even consider the thought for a moment that in the final judgment, when he is sorting out weeds and wheat, when he is sorting out all of these things that he's talking about, he's never going to ask my opinion. That's awesome. That's absolutely incredible that I don't have to be concerned about those things that really don't concern me. What do I need to be concerned about? I need to be concerned about where I stand in His kingdom. Am I far away from Torah? Now, you can have an outward appearance of Torah. You can show up on Shabbat service on Shabbat, you know, on Saturday or whenever, you know, whatever. You can say things on the time of the new moon. You can know the difference of every food that is out there, of which restaurant is kosher and which one is not kosher, and you can know all of these things. You can know how to tie the tzitzit and how to sound a shofar, and still be far away from Torah, because we miss the point of Torah. The point of Torah is to reveal to us and make us fall in love with the Torah, the King, the one who is the Torah. So we can be far away from Torah, the living Torah, yet have the form of Torah, the written Torah. That's the part that is a little bit more, should I say, scary to me than try to figure out all these other things. If a person, I believe this as much as I'm sitting here today, if a person walks in that which is revealed to them, they may have walked in the name Jesus and have in their mind a kind of a European guy without a beard and with short hair, whatever, you know. They may have in their mind all kinds of things. But if they walked in the light that the Almighty revealed into them, then it's going to be His problem to sort all that out. I don't need to be real concerned about that. I need to be concerned about myself. And they will throw them into the fiery furnace. There will be people today. You know, what is happening today is that people are coming face to face with Torah. And as we get closer and closer to the end, this what me and Daniel are kind of calling today the home stretch, you're going to find that more and more people are going to come face to face with Torah. There's a sign, a billboard on the way back. It's in Fort Smith, Van Buren, I think, Arkansas, right there on the border. And I talked about this probably months ago. This billboard that, thank God, is getting kind of faded. But on the one side, on the left-hand side, is a depiction of a cross. And above that cross, it says grace. And below that cross says blessing. And on the other side, the right side of the billboard, there's a depiction of the Ten Commandments. And on the top, it says performance. And on the bottom, it says curses. So what they're telling me is that the cross, there's grace and there's mercy and there's blessing. But in the Ten Commandments, there's performance and curses. So I tried to call them, and of course, they're only open on like Monday and Tuesday. But I have their website. I want to call back. And I'm going to say, excuse me, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little confused here because I read the Ten Commandments, and it talks about if you honor your mother and father, that you will be blessed. So are you telling me, Pastor, that if I honor my mother and father, that I'm actually going to be cursed? Is God confused? Or maybe is your sign confused? I'm going to probably call him back. See if I can get through. I'll let you know how it goes, okay? I pray, maybe I can be that person, are going to be brought face to face with Torah. If they choose to accept or reject, will, as far as this scripture says, kind of solidify where they are in the kingdom. The problem is that so many people today are being beaten over the head with the Torah instead of offered to them. That, of course, they're rejecting. They're not rejecting the Torah. They're rejecting how the Torah is given to them. And that should be something that each of us spends a lot of time thinking about. Is how are we offering the Torah? I mean, how many of you, years ago, you rejected Jesus, quote-unquote Jesus, for those that are listening on audio, you rejected, quote-unquote, Jesus, but you didn't reject Him. You're rejecting the way that He was portrayed to you. And then when an accurate portrayal of Jesus, who you would then know as Yeshua, when an accurate portrayal was given, you received. The same is true with Torah, is that many people have not rejected Torah. They have rejected how they've been shown the Torah. Of some, you know, by some Torah terrorist, is beating them over the head with it. Okay? The righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear. There is going to be at some place a dividing line between those who are in and those who are out. I think that the Almighty is able to handle that. He doesn't need my help or yours. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. A man found it, hid it again. Then in great joy, went and sold everything he owned and bought that field. the kingdom. Again, the kingdom is like a merchant on the lookout for fine pearls. On finding one very valuable pearl, he went away, sold everything he owned, and bought it. The kingdom is going to be something that you're going to have to give everything for. It's not going to be something that you're just going to be able to play with. Entering into the kingdom is going to cost us everything. Once more, the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to add more to this in just a moment. The kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown in the lake that caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen brought the net up under the shore, sat down, collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad fish away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go forth, separate the evil people from among the righteous, throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will wail and grind their teeth. This is very similar to one of the first parable of the seed and the sower with the wheat and the enemy coming and sowing the weeds. Okay, it's going to be the separation of the two. So what do all these parables have in common? One of the things is that there are two kingdoms upon this earth. And these two kingdoms are at odds with one another. And it's interesting because, I mean, the kingdom of the Almighty, the kingdom of God, Satan is a created being. At any moment, with not a thought, he can be destroyed. He can be wiped out. So why is it that Satan is allowed to do these things? Why is it he's allowed to plant the weeds among the wheat? Why? In order to test us. In order so that we would have to fight for something. Because, see, when we're talking about these kingdoms, these two kingdoms upon this earth, there's a battle without and a battle within. We see, all you have to do today is turn on the television, look at the news, look at the whatever it is, the internet, the billboards around you, no matter where you go and what you do, you see this battle that is going on. And in many ways, it appears that the weeds are winning. But we know, according to what we read, that the weeds will never win. That in the end, it will be the kingdom of the wheat that stands and is strong. The weeds will one day be destroyed. But for today, the weeds are serving a purpose out there, and they're serving a purpose in here. Because, see, this is what, again, Paul talked about, I think, when he said, you know, that which I desire to do, I don't do. That which I don't desire to do, I do. And there is this battle going on inside of me. This battle for who is going to win. And sometimes, I don't know about your life, but sometimes it seems that the wrong side is winning. And you just keep fighting. And you keep fighting and you keep fighting. And that's good. Because we need something in the end that we've fought for. His kingdom is going to cost us. It is going to be something that in the end, when we enter into the kingdom, we are going to appreciate that entrance. We're going to appreciate who is there. And in turn, right after that, we're going to appreciate what is there, whatever that is. He hasn't told us, but we're going to appreciate it. Why? Because we've had to fight for it. We have a choice. Each of us has a choice of which kingdom we're going to be a part of. You think, well, I don't like this fight. I don't like this choice. I don't like all these things. Well, and this is very difficult. This is something that's very easy for me to be taken out of context on, and very easy to misinterpret, and very, very easy to miscommunicate. You know, being in Jacksonville and all, you know, listening to radio a little bit last few days and the news and stuff, this time of Christmas, okay, most of us is like, get it over with. I'm tired of, you know, grandma got run over by a reindeer and all that kind of goofy nonsense. Get it over with. Burn the trees. By the way, where are the greenies? You know, where's the Save the Planet people? With all these lights that are on, wasting electricity, global warming. Where's all these greenies, you know, when it comes to cutting down these trees or making them out of plastic, which comes from oil? Where are all these people? It doesn't matter to them, does it? I got on that note. I wasn't going to. But there's another side of this time of year that I want to bring in order to teach this point in the last few minutes. It's a time that people want to feel good about themselves. A lot of people misdirected. In Jacksonville, there was this thing about this bikes for people that didn't, you know, bikes for children or something. And there was one guy that donated, I don't know how much money it was, and like all these kids got to just walk into or run in, like a bunch of crazies, run into Toys R Us and just take things off the shelves, and it was all paid for. I can guarantee you something. Those bikes that were given to those children, those toys that were given to those children, those bikes will end up in the trash heap very fast. Those toys will end up broken, parts misplaced, thrown in the dump. It won't matter to them. Why? Because they never had to work for it. They do not appreciate it. It is a human trait that we do not appreciate that which we do not work for. It's as David said, I will offer nothing that doesn't cost me something. He knew the value of putting our life into something. And so these kids that are being, and I'm all for, we should help people out and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong, I'm not that cold sometimes. But these children, in order to receive something, there should have been some way that they could have earned it. Have them go out and pick up trash on the street. Go do something for somebody. In some way, earn it. In some way, work for it. Because then they would appreciate it. And for you and I, yes, the price of our redemption has been paid for in the blood of Yeshua. But there is still a fight. There are still these two kingdoms that are at war with each other, out there and in here. And for us, the very fact that it is not just given to us, everything, the kingdom is not just given to us on a silver platter, but the kingdom will be something that when we walk in those gates or whatever all that stuff is, we're going to say, it cost me my life to get here. The same as it cost Yeshua His life to receive us, it's going to cost us our life to receive Him and what He has for us. I pray I'm making sense today in this. In that way, we're going to appreciate where we are. We're going to appreciate who is there. We're going to appreciate what is there. It's not just going to be, the kingdom's not just going to be something to be discarded like a bicycle that was given to you with nothing nothing of your own given in return. It's going to be something, you know, that you walk through this life, and yes, He paid a price, but you also paid a price to walk into that kingdom. These kingdoms, His kingdom will come with us searching for it. With us searching for Him, with us selling everything that we have. And I'm not talking about going and, you know, and having a garage sale. I'm talking about something far greater than that. This is He's using material things to speak in a spiritual, in a way far greater than this. It's not about the things, it's about what we do with those things. It's about how we use those things. So when He says sold everything, It said, I come to the end of this earth, this world, and I have nothing but Him, and that's good. In this last week, and I teach out of my own life, seeing these people in the nursing home, and I wonder, in the hospital, in the nursing home, there was a man down that lived a couple doors down from my mother, her apartment that we moved her out of, and we'd been working to clean her apartment and all these things. And there was so many people, oh, you're giving away this, you're giving away that, you're giving away these things, and they just, we had to do a little bit of an apartment sale, and these people are coming in, they're just all over everything, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And then there was a man down the street, down the hall, who came, and he started talking to me, and we built a little relationship, and I mentioned Israel. And we ended up sitting on Shabbat, last Shabbat, for about an hour talking about Israel. This man's in his 80s, and his heart is for the Almighty, for His kingdom. His heart was, he didn't care about any of these other things. He didn't care that my mother, that you can get some glasses or a little food or something like that. What he wanted to sit and talk about the kingdom. If you and I were given, today is, by the way, just for those that are wondering, today is the 20th, the 20th of December, 2012. If the Mayans are right, most of you will never see this video. I don't think they were right. But what if they were? What if today you found out that tomorrow is the end of the world? What would it be that you'd cling to in that last 24 hours? No, stop and really think about it. What would you really cling to? I'll tell you what you would cling to. It is what you've been clinging to. It's what we've been clinging to. It's not what, this is what I want to cling. No, it's what we've been clinging to. It's what we will cling to. Have we been clinging to His kingdom? Or have we been clinging to our IRA or our monetary gain? Or this possession or that possession? Or have we been clinging to His kingdom? What we've been clinging to is what we will cling to in the end. The reward, according to these parables, the full reward is not until the end. Yeah. Many walk through this and they say, well, I've been doing all these things. I've been doing the right things. I've been eating kosher. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. And I'm just not seeing all the blessings. That's right. For many, the blessings will not come until the end. We've had to fight through it. Maybe not seeing all the rewards. Not seeing all of the blessing. Not seeing all of the benefit. But according to these parables, in the end, we will see it all. At that point, I will see, ear will hear, and it will enter into the heart of man the things that He has prepared for us. We will stand as Paul did and look at that which he saw, and we'll say, Paul, I can see why you didn't write a book, because there would have been no way to write a book about what has been prepared for each of us in His kingdom. Those who have been searching out the who of the kingdom, not the what of the kingdom. Bezrat Hashem, and the Mayans being wrong, I'll see you again next week. And let's get through this couple days here. It only comes once a year. And the Christmas trees will come down soon. The ornaments will be packed away. And we'll be able to just take a spiritual shower and move on. Of course, for me and for about 40 guys that'll be going to the pruning here, it's our focus is already starting to get on that. That here in just a couple of weeks, it'll be time to head over and to prune those vines so that the harvest can be what it should be for His kingdom. There's probably some spiritual things in there today in that statement also. What do you think? All right, got to go. See you next week.
Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai Sem lecha shalom.